Welcome to Stouts with My Spouse. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Patrick.
And this is Stouts with My Spouse. Let's get into it.
Hello, hello, hello. We're recording on a Thursday night today because Friday happens to be my birthday. So welcome to my last couple hours of being in my 20s. Patrick, what is on the docket this evening? Actually, I don't even know. I'll announce it because I don't think he knows.
I don't even know what it is. I just have a big growler in my hand.
So it's a growler from Lake Ann Brewing Company in Lake Ann, Michigan. And this is the Chocolate Orange Cream Stout. So I went here by myself because I'm working on a project and left Patrick at home. But before you feel too bad for him, he got a growler and he got a shirt from Lake Ann Brewing Company. So if you want to pour us some drinks, I'm going to have a splash and Patrick can have some too.
So I do notice one thing that's kind of funny on the growler. It says lowering expectations one pint at a time. So let's see. I'm not the biggest fan of fruit flavored things, but I do like an Oberon.
Yeah.
Which is orange, and I'd be lying if I didn't say that I had one already today.
He's smelling the growler.
Mm-hmm. I'm smelling the growler. Smell a lot of chocolate with a hint of orange.
You can just put some in my frosted mug.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how.
So what was really cool about this brewery is in Lake Ann, Michigan, which is in the Traverse City vicinity, which is in the northwestern region of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, for those of you, stop please, are so inclined. And this was a little village brewery. The inside was rather small, but the outside had a huge patio and deck, a little stand for live music, a huge grassy space. It felt easy, breezy, lots of space. There's a playground right across from the brewery, and there's little shops in the little village, and Lake Ann is so beautiful. So I've tried a variety of beers here, and I did that outside, and you know, it was really, I felt like it was such a gem. Like I haven't gone to a brewery and I tried from their blonde to their stout beer, and I really haven't enjoyed so many beers and so many different kinds of beers at a brewery, and also enjoyed the atmosphere in a really long time. Like usually there's one beer that I really hold on to someplace. Sometimes I can't even find, you know, I've tried enough craft beer that I'm not like, I'm certainly no expert, but I also like don't always find a beer that I like at a brewery.
Yeah, and for me, someone that doesn't like IPAs so much but does like craft beers, and by I mean so much is I really don't like IPAs.
Well, that's why our podcast is called
Stouts
with My Spouse.
So if you go to a lot of breweries, a lot of their really great beers are IPAs, and I would be down to like try a little sip of them,
like a flight.
Yeah, because I might like the taste. I just genuinely don't like the hoppy feeling, hoppy sensation. So I go to a brewery and lots of times I'm limited. I'll go in, and what I do in a new brewery is I get the very first stout that I see. If they don't have a stout, then I go porter. If they don't have a porter, then I'm like, man, you don't have a porter
or a
stout. What are you? If they have a pilsner, then I'm like, why would you have a pilsner but not a stout or a porter? But but what I'll do is I'll always grab the first stout that I see, and lots of times like I get that one and then I look down the menu, I'm like, oh shoot, they've got like five stouts, this place is awesome, and I'm like, I don't know if I'll be able to try all five stouts while we're here.
So I really liked this place. I think they had like pretty much two of each.
Mm-hmm.
Two blondes, you know, two stouts, and then ambers and ryes in the middle and IPAs.
Did they have a sour? I thought I saw that you said that.
I think they had it.
I don't think that's as popular, but I think it's becoming more popular to have some sours.
Everybody, the Jungle Fungus Session IPA and a New England IPA. So I was hearing great things about the Jungle Fungus, but I liked their Lakeland Amber, their Burnt Brown Mill. They have two porters, a Summer Garden Glow, Wheat, and two blondes. Like, I thought that was, like, a perfect kind of menu for a brewery for me. Especially as a smaller brewery. Not that it was small, but it's, like, it was doing just enough.
It's in a smaller town. It's still in, like,
it had enough variety to really want to go. So what is your first impression of Lake Ann Brewing Company's Chocolate Orange Cream Stout?
So my first impression is, and I'm assuming that it's probably even better if it's fresh. Obviously, this has been in a growler for a little bit, so it's a little flat. So I'm not getting, like, the full flavor. But it's really good. It's not, it's a little, like, I can tell it's a little.
It came from a growler.
Yeah, I know. So what I'm saying is that I'm like, I want to go there and try this. I was very skeptical when you said, I'm getting the orange, whatever. I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to go have another beer on hand so I'm coming at this thinking that I was going to hate it. But it's really good, and I am excited to keep drinking it and try some more. So
yeah, and I think too, like how Patrick had mentioned, obviously the best beers are a fresh pour of the day. This growler I got last Saturday, so it's been since Thursday, so it has been some time, but the flavor itself I had in a flight, and I tried it. And I thought to myself, Patrick will either really love this or really not care for it because he has such an aversion to fruit. But he loves Oberon so much. And I'm really, like, I was very impressed by this drink. It is, in my heart and soul, I feel like this is the stout version of an Oberon when I drink it. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's insulting to the brewer or not. But the way it drinks, that's how I taste it.
It's almost like
the best way to describe it.
Yeah, if you're eating like a real nice, a dark chocolate. Not too dark, but like maybe like a 60%, 65% chocolate bar. Normally if I'm eating a dark chocolate, it's like in the 80s or higher. But I think a little bit of a sweeter. And then kind of like the hint of orange that Oberon has.
But
is
nothing
there
is
behind.
Overpowering.
No.
And the cream is nice too. Like
yeah.
It smooths it out.
Because I do like orange flavored things for the most part. Like if you're handing me, if I had to choose like a Starburst or anything like that, I'm going to choose lemon, orange, lime. And that's it. And I'll literally throw away or give away the strawberry and whatever other flavors.
Right. So I'm glad you really like it because I feel like this is a bold decision to put a citrus with a stout. And I think doing this podcast, and I'm not trying to like say anything bad about any other breweries, it's just kind of difficult because we see all these dessert stouts that are like very decadent and thick with sweet flavors. And it's just interesting to see someone go for a citrus flavor with a stout. It's kind of a nice change of pace, you know?
Yeah, I think that the closest one maybe is like the that we've tried, or at least I've tried on this. I can't remember if you tried it. I'm pretty sure you did. The Neapolitan.
Yeah, the Sagatuk.
Yeah, and that one was very much like strawberry flavored.
And Patrick hates strawberries, so yeah, that was not
like,
a good match.
I don't even like strawberry flavored things. It's not just like I don't like the fruit. I don't like the flavor of strawberry. So it wasn't for me, but then we had someone else, I can't remember, on the podcast that had it, and they loved it.
Yeah.
And so I definitely can tell, like, hey, you like strawberries? That's awesome. There's so many things out there that you must like.
But yeah, and I've seen some banana chocolate stouts. I think I would really enjoy that, because I don't mind that, but Patrick hates bananas, so that...
Really, although, the...
Patrick's like, maybe.
No, I...
something.
The smell of banana literally makes me, like...
I don't need to be around during that episode.
At our local brewery, they've got the Belgian Triple, and that was one of the first beers I tried there. And I didn't know that there was banana, and I didn't sit there and like smell it or anything like that. I just drank it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Because it's a great beer.
And then the next day, not the next day, but the next time we went there, I ordered it and I smelled it first, and I was like, oh, there's banana in this. And so then I took a drink of it, and all I could taste was the banana.
You know, so, when we were engaged, I used to go to the brewery, and then I would text everyone after one. I would go to work, and then I was working on this certification that work was paying for, so I would, I wasn't getting paid for it, I'll be clear, while I'm at the brewery. This was something you could work on separately after work.
Yeah, so you were working on basically a class while sitting at the brewery.
Yes.
You were not working on
the
class.
I was not getting paid to drink craft beer.
This was on your own time.
On my own time. I brought my little Chromebook, which, I mean...
R.I.P. Still runs, but
no,
barely.
Here's the thing. Not even R.I.P., God bless that Chromebook, because it has lasted me almost 10 years, and I'm proud of it, and I love it so much. Anyways, continuing on, I just, like, hated planning our wedding so much, and I thought it was so dumb, for the most part, like, all the things you have to do, and all the texts I would have to send out to people. I would just wait until I drank a beer, and then I would send all the wedding texts to people, because I was just like, okay, whatever, like, I'll just keep going. Like, I have to do all this communication. I might as well just, like...
be in a happy place.
Yeah. So...
and, I mean, you're around... so, yeah, you're working on something that might be a little bit stressful, but you look around and you see people having a good time, it gives you... puts you in a good mood-ish.
And I would be talking to a stranger. I'd be like, yeah, I'm planning my wedding. It's dumb and stressful. And then they'd be, like, laughing. I'd be like, yeah, haha.
haha.
Yeah, that's how you make friends. You're relatable and kind and interesting. So, I think... number one, I think having a birthday and turning 30 and not being in my 20s anymore tomorrow, it seems kind of cool. Like, I don't know. I think I've really explored a lot of areas in life. I've tried a lot of new things. I've taken a lot of, not a lot of, like, extreme risks, but I've really, like, put myself out there throughout my 20s, and I feel like... I'm happy with that path that I took, because, like, I was interested in so many different things that I feel like I pursued everything I was interested in and always had faith in myself. And it's kind of cool to see all that accumulate. I mean, you learn so much by taking risks and innovating and trying new things. And I think about, like, I could have stayed at the same company for years and years, which is fine, but it just wasn't what I was built for. It wasn't what I was suited for at that time. Like, I needed to explore different professions and different avenues, and I had successes in some of those areas. and I intentionally moved away from other areas of life and interests, and I don't know, I think I wouldn't have changed any bit of my 20s. I had a lot of really fun adventures and traveling, and even before and after I met you, it was really fun. Like, I mean, it's kind of like you don't close a chapter, you just kind of leave it there. But is that the same thing? Because closing it sounds so, like, ominous. Like, I'm closing this chapter of my life.
I mean, you're closing a decade, but in actuality, life still goes on.
Well, you think about it, too. There's so much change from 1 to 10, and then from 10 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they say that there is a lot of change. I don't know. I mean, I'm not interested in planning that kind of trajectory out. I'm just interested in being as healthy as I can, pursuing my interests, spending as much time with my two favorite people, making sure my dogs aren't raging lunatics, and like exploring worlds.
What about
being
the cats?
Happy. I mean, cats are gonna cat, you know?
Yeah,
they don't really care. I'm just really grateful for every single day that I have, and especially, like, the weather has been beautiful. People have been just buying me lunch left and right this week. I got flowers. Somebody's bringing me breakfast tomorrow and sent me a picture of the cake they baked me. Like, I'm just taking this in.
Is the cake big enough to share?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be peer pressured to share at work tomorrow, so I'll let you know. I'm really happy, and I think that no matter where I go and no matter what I'm doing, I'll figure out a way to make it. And I think, you know, if anything, my 20s has proved that to me.
So,
like, I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean,
You
met me when you were what? 22 at the you were 22.
Was I 22 or 23?
Well, you were just about to turn 23 when you met me.
Was I? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that is correct. That is strange to think that, I mean, we'll eventually have been together longer than we've been alive. And that
longer than
we haven't known each other.
Yes,
I guess is what I'm
longer
saying.
Longer than we've been.
That's what I was thinking.
That was very deep, Patrick, because
yes.
Our souls were intertwined well before we were born. So thank you for that, Patrick.
Okay,
that deep
thought while not thinking deep.
But the thing is, was it a Freudian slip? Was it a deep thought when you thought? Well, on the surface level, it looks like a simple slip of the tongue. But
this is one of those philosophical conversations that I have to be.
Freud was a psychologist, however.
For me to get to that point, I've got to have a growler down.
Okay. Well,
okay.
You were just being romantic
yes.
and sweet. Just stick with that, honey.
Okay. I was being romantic and street.
And street. He was being street. What about that? My little homeschooled, church-going, youth group boy being street.
I was not being street. I don't know what I... Okay.
That's what you said.
What is in this? What did you drug me with?
Okay. I just think that I think that this is a very impressive flavor of a stout. And I was like... gushing over the bartender with this because
were you trying to get a freebie? Were you flirting with the bartender again?
No, I was not, and I don't flirt with bartenders. What are you talking about? I think like sometimes you say things in on the podcast and you're like, well, it's recorded, so what are you gonna do with this?
Yeah, what are you gonna do with it?
I don't flirt with bartenders. Are you talking about that 1 year a couple years ago on my birthday when somebody bought me brunch?
Yep.
Because for my birthday a couple years ago, I just wanted Patrick to hang out with my brother and our daughter and to just be together there. And then I wanted to go to one of my favorite brunch spots, and I wanted to have a Bloody Mary and eat my Eggs Benedicts with crab cakes, which ironically I had that for lunch, not the Bloody Mary, but my friend bought me those same Eggs Benedict today. And I was just chatting with someone at the bar, and he was like, my friend was supposed to meet me, but he was flaking out. He was an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at that time, you were looking for a new job, and I was networking for you, because that's what I do. I was literally networking for Patrick and trying to, like, get referrals for him for places to apply. I was, like, telling this guy about Patrick's experience. Because
and
then he surprised me, and he was like, it's your birthday? I was like, and I was showing him pictures of our daughter and, like, of you, and I was like, listen, I just wanted to have brunch by myself. I don't need anybody right now. And he was like, that's really cool. And then he surprised me and bought my tab and left.
Nice.
So
there's nothing wrong with trying to get, you know, a little discount, I guess, and something. But I had a question,
Patrick,
for you.
Okay. You just said there's nothing wrong with trying to get a little discount on something when I expressed to you that, honey, I was not flirting with this person.
I know, Carrie.
I was networking for you.
I know.
And getting job referrals.
And I appreciate the time and effort and juju that you put out there in the universe.
Because did I not network for you to get the job you have?
Mm-hmm. You got the hookup.
I do.
Can I ask my question now before I forget it?
Okay.
It's the one I've been sitting on.
Okay, I'm ready for that.
And we'll see how it goes.
Yes, sure.
Has to do with your 20s.
I feel like, okay.
So now that you've had a full 10 years
mm-hmm.
of being in your 20s.
Yeah.
What is so this is a two part question. Part one, what is the most overrated year of being in your 20s, the one that's, like, hyped up, that you're like, oh, man, this is going to be great, which there's only a few, maybe. Taylor Swift might have kind of, like, snuck one in there to make it a little bit more hype for a second. And what is the most underrated year of being in your 20s?
I don't know if I have a year. Maybe we could just do qualities.
Yeah, sure.
I think, frankly, it's overrated to settle down in your 20s. I think it's kind of silly, in my perspective, to stay in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
I think your 20s are when you are gifted the opportunity to try different things and explore the world. And I think it's nonsensical. Is that a word? I think it's, I mean, for me personally, and I speak on my experience, I think it would have kind of been nonsense to not try some of the things I tried. Because when else are you going to try them? So I think that's extremely overrated. And I think too, what's underrated about being in your 20s is the perspective that you have in work environments. You are kind of underestimated, and that's normally because, I mean, no matter how book smart you are, no matter how good or qualified or how certified you are at your 20s, there are certain nuances within the workplace that you're just naive to, and no one can prepare you for those sorts of interactions, because that just comes with age and experience, and it's fine. But I think what's underrated is that greenness, those fresh eyes on an industry, the perspective that is something new, having that outsider perspective when you start in a new company. It's an underrated feeling, if that makes sense. it's underestimated sometimes by your peers within that company. I think good leaders recognize that new green eyes to the company can see things at different angles and get different perspective and have different creative juices kind of flowing.
And be more and, willing to do something too.
But it's also like that newness, which can kind of give a nagging anxiety to the most confident person, that newness to a new job, that kind of feeling is underrated. Because if you think about it, how many new stones are you really going to, like if you end up in your later 20s, finding a job that sticks, right? How many new, when else, if you stay at that same job or in the same field, when else are you going to have that new, like I'm new feeling again in life?
Yeah, because it's...
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, if you're in like the professional, I don't even know
how to say this. So sure, it might give you a little bit of anxiety starting something new, but like, when else are you going to start something new?
Yeah, I guess I see where you're coming from, because when you're in your 20s, typically, if you do have a family, your family's a little bit smaller. And, you know, starting over, meaning that you're starting, so think of it as you're in a company.
Starting in a new field.
Yeah, you're starting at the bottom. And if you're in a field now, so like if you're in a tech industry and you've been there for 5 years or whatever, and you've been, let's say that you're a programmer and you've gotten to the point that you're a senior programmer, obviously, if you're looking to stay in that field, you're not going to be like, oh, hey, I just want to be a programmer somewhere. I don't know, I'm not a programmer, but I feel like you'd be looking to be like, hey, where's a spot that I can be a senior programmer or have that same like seniority, I guess. You're kind of looking to go up or at least laterally. You're not looking to go down. But if you start a whole new something, yeah, you've got all this experience in programming, but that doesn't mean that you know how to install a roof. Let's put that in example. So you're going to be starting from the bottom there. I don't know.
I mean, there's the language of the bottom is really interesting to me, because that means nothing to me. I think...
And it might even be equal pay. I think so many people get hung up on like, oh man, I've got to do this. I still get paid the same amount, but I don't have the... I don't have that status, but...
I think oftentimes people are all consumed by status without even knowing they're all consumed by status and work. And I think that's something that subliminal messaging kind of programs us to be without even really... I mean, that's subliminal, is like not knowing.
It's like the person saying... It's like taking a...
When really?
A 23-year-old that just graduated from college with... So let's take me, for example. Graduating at 23 with a visual communication degree and debt.
But
what I want to do. I was not this way, but if I was coming out and being like, oh, man, I probably was a little bit. I've got my college degree, blah, blah, blah. I'm this and this. I've accomplished this. And I've got people that I knew that all they did was get an associate's degree, or maybe they didn't go to college at all, but they're a trades worker and they're already making a ton of money. And
I'm not sure where you're going.
I'm saying the status. You have people that are like, my status is better than your status because I have a college degree. I'm going to be able to go on and do this. Whereas you've got somebody that maybe doesn't have a college degree, but they're an expert welder or whatever. They're going to be making a ton of money doing that. That's what I'm saying, is I think that when you were saying people put, like, their status above anything else, when really, your status doesn't mean really anything in the real world.
Yes, and that is why oftentimes leadership will agree to a job title change with hardly any of a raise. Because they actually know that status does matter deeply to people. So I do not look down upon people in the trades industry, and neither do you, but you were just saying that as an example. And I don't know, when you talked about graduating at 23, you also had over 7 years of customer service office experience as well. And I think too, like, that's also valuable. It's interesting because somebody asked me what I was planning to do with my college degree. And I definitely think that's an interesting question to pose, but I never, no matter what I got my degree in, no matter what field of study I chose, I had zero, my strategy wouldn't have changed. I would have still done exactly what I wanted to do, pursued my interests, kept networking, kept volunteering, developing my personal contacts and professional contacts, getting references, and putting myself out there and trying new jobs. I don't think that anything would have changed my path, because no matter what I've learned throughout my 20s years is,
you're almost 30 years.
My 20s years.
Oh, your 20s years. Okay. Yes.
So I'm not sure you're listening to me, but that's fine. I don't know. I can learn so many jobs and be successful at them. So I'm not really intimidated by anything. I mean, really, you can learn anything if you have the right mindset. And some things don't come naturally to me. Some things do come naturally to me. I currently work in a job where I do things that do not come naturally to me at all on a day-to-day basis. But I don't know. I've worked on those, and I've put myself in a position to be successful. And I think that that's what's lacking with that. Well, what do you get your degree for? Well, you don't always get a degree for something. You get it for perhaps the skills of research, or the skills of critical thinking, or to be able to say, hey, I did accomplish it. But really, it's your experience that builds you beyond your degree and cultivates you as a whole person, and it's how you present your resume that way. So I kind of scoff at people that are like, well, why did she get her degree in psychology? And like just turn their nose up. And it's like, well,
people understand that getting a job nowadays is literally putting that check mark that you have a degree is, so everything's digital now. You put a check mark that you have a degree, even though the company says no degree necessary. You put that check mark on the degree, or a check mark that you have a degree, your resume is actually going to get looked at by a real person versus, well, just a computer.
Also, it's not taking into account of there's so many opportunities to capitalize on outside of the scholastic experience, outside of the academic experience, that also can build you in the context you build. And you can teach yourself how to do a lot of things, improve yourself in a real way in an office environment. So yeah, people may scoff at certain degrees, but it's like, there's always, we're more than just your degree. Just like everyone else is more than just their job title. Like, do you know what I mean? Because one job title can't encompass all the skill set that you have. So I just think it's interesting. I think let's look at the whole person. I don't know. Everyone wants everything to be linear. Not everything is linear. Not everything equals a straight line. And if you want that, then I don't know. I don't know, because I can't really identify with you.
Go see if you can land on Mars with Elon and start your own community of straight line people.
Yeah, that this equals this. I'm getting a nursing degree and I'm going to do this.
I'm gonna get a nursing degree, and I'm going to be a nurse at this company for forever. No, that doesn't happen.
I'm gonna get the first job I can get outside of college, and I'm gonna excel at that.
Those days are gone.
Well, they're not gone. It's just like, I don't know.
For the general masses, they're gone.
But who really cares? Like, it'll be fine. Invest your own money. Never count on anyone. And move on with your life. So
Dogecoin to the moon. Not really though.
No. Okay. So
it tanked today.
I really like this growler of the chocolate cream stout from Lake Ann Brewing Company. Patrick, is this Bubba approved?
It is. Surprisingly to me, it is. I gave you my skepticisms.
I know, but I'm really happy that you liked it, because I drank it and I did really hope that you would like it.
Is there a...
And I was kind of nervous you wouldn't.
A chocolate? I feel like maybe this would go around like Christmas time or whatever. It's like a chocolate, but it's like an orange.
Sure, probably.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the podcast where we say what we're grateful for with one another, because it's really important to voice gratitude, to not only think it, but to voice it within your marriage or within your friendship or in your day-to-day. So, Patrick, I'll say I'm grateful for all the work you've done training our new dog. I understand that those of you who haven't had a puppy may not grasp how difficult it is to potty train and crate train and just in general train a new puppy, and you've been working really hard at it, and I see you're already making great strides, so thank you.
Yep, only two accidents today. What I'm grateful for you is, I mean, there's two parts, all right? So you're about your birthday's tomorrow, and I just want to say I'm so grateful for all the years that I've known you, and I'm grateful that I can look out in the future and see us still getting to know each other and hanging out and just genuinely having a good time. And that makes me happy when I see my future looking and seeing your face. And secondly, I'm grateful that you made me try a beer.
I'm so excited you like it.
I mean, so when you first said it, I didn't hear the chocolate. I thought you just said that it was going to be an orange cream stout, and I was thinking crush, crush, right?
Yeah.
And crush is fine occasionally, but yeah, I'm just grateful that you got it and tried it. I was like, this might be an interesting podcast where I just really don't like the beer, but I like it.
Yeah. All right. I love you. Goodbye.
Love you. Goodbye.
Hey, everybody. We post new episodes of our podcast, Stout With My Spouse, every Saturday morning. Available on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Spotify. Follow Stout With My Spouse on Instagram and like our Facebook page. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Until next week.